they provided us with the scissors to cut the link, if you like, from the past. Because with Boy October and War, we'd finished something. There was no point in going back. How many of your favorite groups, you know, have you seen just start to repeat a formula? You know, and you always liked them in the beginning when they made music and it was still fresh to them as well as to their audience. And then you just got the feeling that they were just going through the motions. And we never want to go through the motions. So we got to move on.
Well, tell you what, let's move on say. Also. We've got another call from Syracuse, Mike on 95X. Mike, are you there?
Yes.
What's your question?
Hello, Adam and Bono. First of all, this is a dream come true. I'd like to ask both of you two quick questions. Is that Swing Castle on the cover of The Unforgettable Fire? Plus, I recently read that the band was inspired for The Unforgettable Fire. Some pictures from the Japanese survivors of the atomic bomb. And how would I go about getting my artwork presented to you?
Right. That's three questions.
I like this guy.
Where do we start?
Okay, the first one is... The castle on the cover of Unforgettable Fire is not Slane Castle, because Slane Castle is actually functional. If you notice, on the cover of Unforgettable Fire, it's a ruin. So that's actually an old castle down near Athlone in Ireland. The second question is, the album was, to some extent, inspired by the Unforgettable Fire exhibition. Certainly the title comes from that. And really, what's important about the Unforgettable Fire exhibition was those bombs were dropped. That's unforgivable and unforgettable. And if the fact that they were dropped makes them unforgettable and that it never happens again, well, then perhaps that is some good come out of that. But I think there is an intense complacency to forget that atomic war is actually a very real event, and it does destroy people, it destroys lifestyles, and it could in fact destroy life on Earth as we know it forever. And I think people tend to forget that. They get caught up in the glamour of going to war, you know, wearing a lady's garter and killing people. And there's no glamour to war. It's nasty and it's ugly. And I think Bono would probably like to talk to you about your artwork.
Yeah, well, just... probably, I don't know how many people are aware that The Unforgettable Fire was an exhibition of paintings and writings done by survivors of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. There are people from 6 years old to 60 years old, amateurs and professionals, who just to exercise from themselves the fear they felt, just started writing about it and painting, and it was these... the colors of those paintings are just stained on us, and it only affects the record in a very subliminal way, but it's there. I use the image of Unforgettable Fire in a much broader sense. I think Martin Luther King, say, was a man with unforgettable fire. I think Elvis Presley was a man who had unforgettable fire, was also consumed by it, if you like. But yeah, and the list goes on. But the artwork did have an influence on me, and artwork does. I mean, I open my eyes and my ears as well. And I'm always open to seeing, you know, to listen to seeing new artists. And if you've got any artwork that you want to send to us, well, you know, send it. It'll be, you know, it takes a long time for me to get around to replying, but I'd do my best if I could. And I just wonder where you could send it. Probably Island Records, and in New York City. But I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't let people send off, you know, things they've worked on for weeks, and that's, you know, in case it got lost or stuff, you know, because the post can be really haywire. And the best bet is when we come to town, maybe if you've got any stuff, bring it around. I don't know, bring it around to the gig. I'd like to see it.
Mike, we appreciate you taking the time to call. Let's move on in a positive note. We mentioned earlier that we were going to play the Band-Aid Project, Do They Know It's Christmas? I think this would be a good time to do it right now. Let's do that now on Rockline. We're back with Rockline, live and nationwide. I'm Gino Michelini, sitting in for Bob Coburn. He's not well tonight. He doesn't feel well. He'll be back next week. I have my guests with me tonight, Bono and Adam of U2. And talk to them. All you have to do is call us. The number is 1-800-222-ROCK. And we're going to go to New York City right now. We've got John on the line who's listening on WNEW 102.7 FM. John, are you there?
What's
your
here.
What's your question, John?
Hi, Bono. Hi, Adam.
Hey, John. How are you? Hi. Great.
First of all, I wouldn't be able to live tomorrow for you to say hi to Chrissy for me.
Okay. Chrissy, okay. Hi.
Okay, thanks.
I wouldn't do that to anyone.
I saw you guys at Radio City, and the only word I can think of is beautiful. I'm left with, you know, it's really great experience. And, like you said, Martin Luther King was a man of vision. But to me, you guys are men of vision too. What you're doing is, maybe not equal to Martin Luther King, but it's a start. And I think you really, feel in your heart that that's what you want to do.
John, we don't have a whole lot of time here. If we could get to your question, that would help out a lot.
These are high compliments.
All right.
Okay, here's my question. At the concert, you said that Bad was about heroin, and that you wrote it for a friend, and you also wrote it for yourself. Does that mean that you had a problem with heroin yourself, Bono?
Well, I think I said I wrote the song for a friend of mine. I also wrote it for myself, because you can be addicted to anything. And, you know, that song's not just about heroin. It's about a lot of things. None of our songs really are just about one thing. There's a whole life has gone into them, and I hope they lead a whole life on their own. I hope that answers your question in some way without me getting into an hour-long conversation. So, thank you.
All right, thank you, and God bless you, and good luck in everything you do.
Yeah, God bless you. As I think it's clear from what we said earlier on, completely stand against the drug heroin, having seen what it's done.
John, have you had a problem with heroin? Or, I mean, if you don't want to answer that, fair enough.
No, I never had a problem with any drug, but I see what it does to people.
Right, you've seen people.
Great. Well, nice to talk to you, John, and thanks for those words early on. You know, really, it's nice to know that people respond to our music in that way. Thank you.
Why don't we go to the Unforgettable Fire album and play the song Here Is Bad by U2 on Rockline. From the Unforgettable Fire album, that's U2 with Bad. Give us a call toll-free at 1-800-822-ROCK. We're with Bono and Adam of U2 for the full 90 minutes tonight. So stick around, it's Rockline. We're back with Rockline, live and nationwide. I'm Gila Michelini, sitting in for Bob Coburn with my guests Bono and Adam of U2. To talk to them, call us now at 1-800-222-ROCK. We're going to go to the lines, the East Coast, as a matter of fact, Providence, Rhode Island, 94HJY, has Connie on the line. Connie, are you there?
Yeah.
What's your question?
Hi. First of all, I just wanted to say this is Karen, Connie, and Charlotte from Fitchburg State College. And my question is, we wanted to know why part of their new album was recorded in a castle.
I think that's a good question. I'd like to know the answer to that as well. No, I think I know the answer to that. There was a ballroom in this castle, and it was built, Connie, for a kind of string quintets, and we were really just fed up with all the studio trickery that's been going down for the last 10 years. Everyone talking about separation and people talking about we've just got to get it perfect. And I figured, well, you know, records haven't got better over the last 20 years. In fact, a lot of the records I like are 10 years old. So maybe all this studio technology stuff, maybe it's not cracked up what they say it is. And so we wanted to get back to a more natural environment. And the ballroom in this castle was just a great place to record. Beautiful ballroom. Really, really something. I think that answers the question, does it, Adam?
I think we were going for natural acoustics rather than synthetic acoustics, which is what you get in most recording studios.
There, he answered it much better.
We've got another caller on the line, too.
Thanks, Connie.
From Cleveland on WMMS. Mark, are you there?
Yes, hello, Edwin Bono.
Hello, Mark.
My question is, do you feel similar to Martin Luther King in your own country with the message you send out there?
I think it's, at this time, you know, I should say at this program, U2 is a rock and roll band, you know, and I think I said earlier, we never use the stage as any kind of soapbox. And though I feel that music has the power to change lives, namely our own, mine, and the band's, I wouldn't like to get across in this interview as being too kind of, you know, serious and totally kind of, we're out there to change the world, but we're not too worried about changing ourselves. Revolution starts at home for us.
I think the thing about Martin Luther King for us is that he enabled us to have a bit of perspective on our own situation at home. And I think that's all we ever ask anyone else to get from our music. If it gives you another opinion and a perspective on your own life and your own situation, well, then I think we're succeeding. We're not trying to give anybody a formula or a way to live their life. All we're giving is perspective.
Yeah, I hope that at home, you know, in Ireland, I'm sending out a lot of Martin Luther King's books. I send them out to people. Because I think that's worth hearing, you know, people in trouble spots, you know, because, you know, you can imagine if you're living in a trouble spot, it's easy to just get so fed up that there's no change happening that you want to make change happen and you might resort to violence. And that's the great thing about King, you know, he just never ever resorted to violence. He just stepped back. He went to jail, his house was bombed, lots of things, but he kept his head. And so if that's a message, I suppose, to the people in Ireland, you're quite right, just keep your head.
Mark, we want to thank you for calling. We've got to move on. We've got another caller right now.
Thanks, Mark.
From Los Angeles, John, listening on KLOS. John?
Yeah.
What's your question?
Some critics have compared you guys to The Who, and do you like being compared to other bands, or do you like to be, individual?
I tell you, mostly we really dislike being compared to any other group, but if there's one group that people can compare us to and make a kind of smile come across the face of The Who, because, you know, I grew up on The Who, and Pete Townsend came down to see us play last year, and he said a lot of nice things about us in the press over the last 2 years, and that was just like, that really meant a lot to us, because his music has meant a lot to us. And so I suppose when they mean that, they mean because our music has light and shade. You see, The Who,
I think they mean spirit.
Well, like, The Who were a heavy rock and roll band, but they had the ability to just empty out their songs as well. Whereas a lot of heavy music at the moment is just one-dimensional. It's just knocking you around the head for, like, you know, for 4 minutes. The Who's songs, they went other places. They dealt with things other than just, I love you, baby, why don't you love me? And
Stu Bonham.
Thank you. I don't mind, you know. I think that's a real high compliment. Thank you.
Okay, and before I go, could you say hi to Carolyn and Victor for me?
Carolyn and Victor?
Yeah.
But we don't know them.
Oh, well,
it'd be my pleasure. I'd like to know them.
They know you.
Hello to Carolyn and Victor. Guys, we've come to the end. We've run out of time. And I don't think we have time for any more callers. I just want to let you know that if you'd like to get in touch with us or any of the guests that have appeared on Rockline, all you have to do is write us at Rockline, Post Office Box S, Tarzana, California, 91356. And we've also been asked to tell you that anybody wishing to send a Get Well card to ZZ Top's Dusty Hill, who was accidentally shot over the weekend, he did it to himself, you can send the cards to care of the Rockline address. That's Post Office Box S, Tarzana, California, 91356.
Life was meant to be ZZ.
What are you going to do?
Can I just ask you one question, Gino?
What's that?
We've
got to make it quick.
Are all the questions as good as the questions that have been asked us tonight? Because if they are, well, this is a good program to be on.
Well, you're a pretty good band.
Well, these are good people that have been ringing in. I want to thank them.
You've obviously got good listeners and good fans.
Yeah.
We'd like to thank everybody for the great calls tonight, by the way. Next week, Bob will return with a special Christmas Eve edition of Rockline with Paul McCartney. And on New Year's Eve, we will highlight some of the best moments of Rockline from 1984. And there's a whole lot more coming your way in 85. And, of course, thanks to Bono and to Adam from U2 for being here tonight. Thank you very much.
Well, thank everyone here, for all
you.
The guys inside.
We've all enjoyed it very much. And we look forward to your return to the U.S. spring of 85.
Yep.
I'm Gino Michelini for Bob Coburn. Get well, Bobby. Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah, everybody.